This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's the post-match show from the Glenbrook just down the road from Anfield after Liverpool have lost at home. Doesn't happen very often in the league anyway, twice in 4 days for Liverpool. And yeah, I've got Ben Johnson, I've got Beth Flindop, and I've got Damien Cabarrett. And Damien, the first half you were poor, the second half you turned around, Beth kicked the chances. Just wouldn't go in for Liverpool today. There was a few I was convinced, I was just waiting for the net to go and they didn't. I felt like if we'd have got one, we'd have got on to win it, but that goal just wouldn't come and it's so frustrating.
Yeah, and you can feel sorry for Liverpool today on a few occasions where it almost, on any other day, the defender blocks it but it still goes in or you know whatever. And there was certainly some gilt-edged chances there which we were guilty of missing. But you can't start games at half-time. That's not good enough. And today proved that Thursday wasn't a fluke, which is bad news. And they need to get out of this quickly. I mean, full credit to Crystal Palace. You know, it takes two teams to make a game, and they were adequate. The integrity of the Premier League's there. But I thought their plan was quite basic. Let's make sure we're alive. Let's get the wide lads chalk on the boots. Let's get them on the counter-attack. And it was all so predictable. And Liverpool, well, I felt pedestrian in the first half. And I know it's a long season, and I've got every sympathy for that. But yeah, to start at our time, and in honest, you get a vibe sometimes in games, don't you? When you know, even when the gilt-edged chances are coming, and the longer the game was going on, it didn't feel like one of those games where we know we're going to get two goals in the last 10. You knew we weren't going to get them. So really, what a body blow for Liverpool today. But I mean, I can't share the whole of this ale house up, but if we win our next three away games, we might feel a bit better. So crack on, Liverpool.
Yeah, the intensity wasn't there from the off, Beth, and like Damien says, you know, when you keep giving teams starts and you keep, you know, allowing the opposition one goal leads, or, you know, like Damien says, only played for half the game, you're gonna come a cropping eventually. You know, you're not gonna have a full season of last gasp winners and amazing turnarounds. You know, if you're not playing well enough to do it, despite the fact that you did have chances, you know, it's gonna go against you.
Yeah, definitely. I think one thing we've spoken about a lot this season is Liverpool's ability to come from behind and their tenacity, and they've picked up more points from losing positions than anyone in the Premier League, which is an incredible feat. But also the only reason that they've done that is because they've gone behind so many times, and that's frustrating. And I think that probably contributed to the atmosphere a little bit today, because I think it's been a lot of games where Liverpool have gone behind and late on the crowds have really felt behind the team. And today, from the minute that Eze goal goes in, I think the whole ground just felt anxious, and I think everyone, both the fans in the stands and the players on the pitch, the confidence is just completely eroded by, you know, what happened at Old Trafford last week, what happened at Anfield in midweek, and it just looks like the heads have gone a little bit, which is worrying. I think, you know, without being too negative, I think that is fatal today, because I think, you know, you're now relying on both City and Arsenal to drop points, while of course having to win all of your own games. And at this moment, this team don't seem to look capable of scoring a goal, never mind winning a game. So I mean, things can change very quickly, of course, but yeah, a real frustrating one. And it's hard not to feel like Liverpool have sort of thrown the season away in the space of a few days.
you can blame what you want, Ben Cardia. You can have a go at your own scapegoat, and there was a few by me doing that. You know, you can talk about intensity, you can talk about long seasons, you can talk about injuries, you can talk about missed chances. It's pot luck from wherever you fancy, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all of them things, isn't it? And I've felt really bad coming out of Anfield, but I fucking said today takes some beating. I think it stings a lot because it feels a little bit self-inflicted. Do you know what I mean? And it's like this team's created more chances, I think, than anyone in the league. It's had more shots on target, blah blah blah. It was unconverted chances, and that coupled with giving Giltead's chances up first 20 minutes of games will not win your fucking leagues. It's too hard. You've got to win too many fucking points to have them flaws. Do you know what I mean? And they are flaws. You can't argue around it. And it's like, it's just soul destroying. It's like you come out of that ground today and it's like real body blow, because we deserve to win. You know, you credit Palace. I thought Palace were excellent first half an hour. I thought they really exploited our weaknesses. Thought he got after us down the right, and we didn't respond. You know, we responded poorly. We made bad choices. You know, you're right. The crowd was getting on people's backs, but that's out of anxiety and frustration. But then the players don't handle that well either. Their heads go. Nunes looks like he's second guessing himself every time the ball's near him. Salah similarly. You know. And
you can see them arguing themselves first half as well, which is never a good sign.
Yeah. Like someone it's unusual that.
Yeah, it is unusual for this team. Like someone had misplaced a pass and then they shout at the fella who they passed it to, almost like, well, what are you still there for? Why are you still wearing a pass to? And you're like, oh. Yeah. There's one where Nunes just tried to do a flick around the corner and it was shit. And then he shouted at Diaz and you're like, come on.
But it almost feels like the pressure is too great, because it's not, you know, Liverpool rode the crest of a wave to win the League Cup. And it was like, yeah, it's Jürgen's last dance, and the players have all referenced, we're going to try even harder than we normally would to win the league, because it's the only chance Jürgen's going to have to win the league again. And it looks and feels a lot like that weight is just drowning them a little bit, like it's drowning me. Like, I'm upset with it, you know what I mean? Because I want nothing more than Jürgen to lift the league trophy in front of us. But the players look like they're feeling that as well, and they're just making... It's almost compounding a little slight weakness, and it's compounding it a little bit more, and you're going to have results like that today. You're going to have games where you have all the ball, all the chances, and fellas get the legs in the way, fellas miss one-on-ones, but you need to make sure you don't concede. And just them little bits of street smart, I just think we're lacking, and it's just a big massive shame.
And it is, like, I mean, we're going to finish this and I'm going to give you a big hug and a kiss, mate, because I really feel for you and you've explained it so well, and I understand why everyone's so down, and I agree with it to the end of the year. And there's no point saying 32 games ago if someone said Liverpool are going to be this close to the top of the league and giving us all this ride and already won a League Cup and all those things. And if you strip it back, like almost a maths equation, if by definition our substitutions really change games and really make us win, it means that we don't start off well enough. And we are an imperfect team, and we know it's nowhere near Jürgen's best team, but it's still really exciting. And everything feels, I mean, you know, I've never drank a flat of pint of Guinness in a long time. Do you know what I mean? And that's nothing to do with the ale house, by the way. It's just how we all feel at the moment. So I do think we're running out of a bit of energy. I think it'd be wrong to criticise the crowd too much, because I don't think the crowd were on the back. They just weren't inspirational. It's the, like I say, with the pressure of the situation, I did see, like, Robbo shouting at Curtis, and then when it really felt bad was when Curtis put his head in his shirt after he missed that chance. I mean, I miss loads of goals at the Kop because I'm not the tallest of fellas. I don't know if you've noticed, right? And usually you can tell when it's going in, but I just turned to hug my mates when Diogo Jota, the ball falls to the fella in the world who you wanted to fall to. And then when Curtis comes through, you think, well, yeah, here's your redemption. If anyone thinks he's an easy whipping boy, by the way, Curtis. And I thought, if he gets that goal, we're still in it, and we're still in with a chance and all that. So I do feel sorry for Liverpool a little bit today, but we are where we are. And I agree with you about Nunes, about the shouts at the moment, because he's working his socks off. He's dragging defenders all over the place. But it's his boots on the right feet. there's no assuredness at the moment, and that happens to players and strikers. And this is going to sound forlorn. I don't even know if Arsenal have kicked off yet.
But yeah, right now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We're still within a result of Man City. And I know the hard line. I know usually the season ends as we're within a result of Man City. We play at Anfield on the last day. We win, and the other result doesn't go our way. But we've just got to dust ourselves down after that today and go, if that's the very bottom, 6 wins and you never know where you look. Just fingers crossed for everyone. And it's not just blind optimism, because 6 wins is close to the title, isn't it? You know what I mean? It is really close.
No, it's really what you're saying, right?
It is. And I'm trying to be logical in an emotional moment.
And I love it, team. But I'm looking at them away games now going, fucking hell, I don't fancy any of them.
No, I know, and we can't. It's impossible. No, it's impossible to feel like that right now. What I'm saying is, this is where, if Liverpool do it, then that's where we are.
If they are going to win the 6-6 games that Damien's talking about, it is this idea of just being cooler in certain situations and just keeping your head in certain situations. And I think I'm looking around the team today and going, actually, there's not many of them who've won much for Liverpool. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, it is a new side. And, you know, obviously Salah's won stuff, and I think that's why the manager keeps him on, because he thinks, well, you know, he's been there in these key moments, and it feels like he'll sort of keep his head, so he sort of takes the orders. You've got Robbo, who I thought was our best player when we went off.
Yeah. Jeffo.
You know, Virgil, he's already won us a cup on, well, not on his own, because Keller was good in the final, but, you know, he's already won stuff on his own. You know, obviously the Cooper comes back into it, that's great, but there's a few of them who haven't yet won at the highest level in terms of league football, and maybe they're showing. And there's not many teams who come from nowhere to win it. You look at Arsenal last year, they go close, fall away, and then this year they come back stronger. Maybe that was always going to be the case, but if we are going to push it as hard as we can, I think some of these lads, you know, we are new, and listen, have done really well, and I'm not going to slaughter anyone, but they just need to learn how to cope with the pressure that is there at the moment, and cope with everything that Ben was talking about before, and know when to be frantic and know when to be calm. And it's that at the moment that doesn't seem quite right.
Yeah, and you know what, I actually wouldn't be surprised if Liverpool from now on start playing a lot better and start winning more games, because that intense pressure isn't really on. It has felt the last few weeks, whoever blinks first in this title race is probably not going to win it, and Liverpool have blinked twice now in the last week, you know, again at Old Trafford and today. So, you know, now they are chasing, they're in third place as things stand. You know, Arsenal, I wouldn't be surprised if they drop points today, because I think at home especially they're in such good form, and I also think this result will give them a massive boost before kickoff. You know, they know, you know, the Liverpool potentially now are out of the race, sort of. So I do agree with you. I think it's the sort of time of the season where you need your big players, your experienced players, to step up. And unfortunately, whether it's because of, you know, his injury or whatever, I think Mo Salah just hasn't done that in the last few games. You know, I think he's the sort of player that is capable of winning games by himself, and he's just looked miles off the pace. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and slag off Mo Salah, because he's a legend for this club, and he's got Liverpool where they are, the amount of goals he scored in the first half of the season. But, you know, he's not been quite high. I think Virgil's level has dropped a little bit over the last couple of weeks after having such a fantastic season. So, yeah, when you've got players who are inexperienced, who are young, who haven't won the league, who haven't been in title races before, you need your big players to step up. And unfortunately for Liverpool, the big players haven't.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah.
Can I say it was out of sorts, wasn't he?
Well, he feels, I'm not seeing the opening goal back, but it feels like, I mean, it's his side, isn't it? So you're looking for your right hand side, the centre half, in that situation.
Trying to play Bradley first, but
he was ball watching Konate. We've watched the goal back when it first came in here, and he's looking at the ball, and Eze just runs off the back of him.
Yeah,
but
it's Bradley's side, but I don't think Bradley could do a lot, because they shift over and he goes and he gets to run it off. I think Endo's got to be over quicker.
I think that's the issue, is I think Palace exploited it really well, is that the midfield can't see it quickly enough, so that right side works, when it's Szoboszlai and Salah, and Szoboszlai's filling all the gaps.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when it's not Szoboszlai filling the gaps take longer to be filled. And McAllister's having to jockey over, and Endo's having to jockey over. And he just, for 25 minutes, just tore us apart on that side because we couldn't cover space quick enough.
I agree with that. And so if it's not Szoboszlai for any reason, it could be any fitness reasons, whatever it is, our best substitute and his best position is substitute. But I can't believe he had so few minutes today, Harvey Elliott.
Yeah.
It was crying out for him.
From every a balance point of view as well.
Yeah. But not just the balance, they were showing all that, like, you know, whatever sides want to play him and that. But that little lad doesn't half snap into tackles, and he doesn't half look hungry, and he doesn't half show for it, and he doesn't half want the ball, and he doesn't give it away. Why was he given so few minutes today? I don't know.
I think the manager just chose to go with other subs first, and then his thoughts, I don't want to do my fifth one too early. I think, you know, just in case we had an injury or something like that. Yeah. So I think it's probably that. But
yeah.
But in terms of, but I think he should have started it. For me, from a midfield point of view, I think one of the reasons Elliott's not started more this season is because I think it's him or Szoboszlai for that right hand side. And I think Szoboszlai's been brilliant. And so he's had the nod, and Elliott's been a great sub. But I think if he's decided not to start Szoboszlai today for whatever reason, fitness, he's got a bit of a problem with him, I don't know, then Elliott's the one to come in for me, and he would have brought spark, and there was no spark there at all in that first half, and he's one who would have brought it. But it's hard, isn't it? And it's hard with your subs, because I think the Szoboszlai's great when he comes on. I forgot Chen was poor. Yeah. Everyone's screaming for Jota, but I mean, Jota comes on, he was crap. I thought he was crap to Hasty as well. Listen, he's coming back, do you know what I mean? But the best one was Gakpo.
Gakpo was fantastic.
Yeah. Brilliant.
That's the issue.
I'm a big fan of the fella.
We've spoken for weeks about how good it would be to have Trent back, and how good it would be to have Jota back, and we're seeing now what happens when you have players back and they've not got match fitness or match sharpness. You know, we're not getting Diogo Jota back, you know, as he was before his injury. We're getting him back.
And it's same with Jones as well. You know, Jones is getting stick, but I feel it doesn't feel like we've timed this too well in terms of, and you want a bit of luck in these situations.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Jones, he was struggling a little bit, but you want to come back into a team that's playing well and you can get your rhythm. And suddenly he's coming back to a load of lads who are knackered.
Yeah.
And he's like, fucking hell.
That's the thing. And then you're almost putting unfair pressure on the players coming in to produce that spark and pick up where they left off. And it's like Trent today misplaced a few passes that, you know, if he was Matt Sharp, he probably would have, you know, put on a sixpence for them. So I think that's part of the issue. And I also think we speak about players being tired, and I think, you know, physically, obviously, it's a lot of games and there's a lot of lads who have had to go again and go again and go again. But I think it's the mental side as much as anything, you know.
No, I agree.
And I think part of that stems from going behind so frequently, because you have to expend so much emotion, so much energy to get yourself up, to come from behind. And I just think Liverpool have done that one too many times this season, and it's cost them.
I think a point you made before about them maybe playing a little bit freer now, I agree with that. I think it's a really good point. I think there has been this burden on them, and I think you're right. I think there is a chance you go and win six games, but you'd just like them to be able to go into that. Thursday's a free hit. Lads, go into that. Pick your 11 lads who've got the most energy in them.
Yeah,
let them fucking run.
That's exactly what they should do. Yeah.
And then Sunday, there's no pressure now, lads. Take it easy. Rock City should win this league from here.
Or Arsenal just.
Or whoever.
Or whoever. Our
business now. We just need to look after ourselves and see what happens and say no notice on it. It's not that you've got something to lose anymore, because in theory you've already lost it. So I think it's a bit more, just a slightly different mentality, a slightly different sort of mindset, and that might benefit Liverpool.
And that's what I was alluding to about those away games. Tell you what, never mind, nothing else. Let's just go out. We know we can win at Fulham. We know we can win at Goodison. We know we can beat West Ham. Now, put them all together, that's extremely difficult. Someone just wins three away games on the bounce, but energy, really deep, really, like, doesn't, like, play each game as if it's, you know, your last game. And there's a lot of experience in that team. You're talking about, you know, players have won a lot of stuff. Before the game kicked off today, and I was privileged to be holding one of the big flags today, I just looked out and I just seen Becker there, and I seen Robertson there, and I seen a number of players I thought, well, I really trust these. Do you know what I mean? So there's a lot in there. can't be in an alehouse like right now and feel optimistic. I understand all that, but and football is about heart and emotion and whatever, but we're not out the title race. If at worst we're 3 points from the top, six games to go, and that's not Liverpool. So in the morning, let's get up and let's fucking have this, please.
Oh, you're all right. I think it feels like someone's took me off for me and threw it over there for a bit. Right now,
we'll have to go. I'll go get it. Pick it up, dust it off.
I think, you know, we're so accustomed. I think Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp have been so good at chasing teams down. You know, the 18-19 season was like the perfect example when both teams had to win like 14 games on the spin, and they both kept winning and winning and winning, and that's when Liverpool are at the best under Klopp, I think, when they've got something to chase. And that's why I sort of think they possibly will get a little bit better over the next couple of weeks. I think aside from the season where they won the league at a canter, they're not necessarily great at dealing with that pressure when they are top, and I think that's probably what's been their undoing at this moment in time.
Any positives? Like I said, I thought Obo was great, and I think you can see that he's, you know, knows what it takes at this time of the season. I thought he was great. Having him back now, hopefully fit for the rest of the season, you know, getting a couple back on, even though they weren't necessarily played brilliant, Ben, you know, you can see how, well, hopefully, you know, it's good thing having Trent back, it's good thing having Jota back, even though we haven't seen the full sort of versions of Den yet. You sort of, you know, as I say, they know what it takes in business end of the seasons as well. So there's not loads of positives from getting sort of beat, but you feel like there is a team and a squad there coming back together now. We could hopefully, you know, give everyone honest till the end of the season.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'd say is if you watch that game back tomorrow, I'm sort of talking to myself here, that it probably wouldn't look as bad as what it feels like it did now. Like, I didn't think Liverpool started too badly, and then then Palace played well for 20 minutes. So, and then I think second half, well, yeah, look at it this way. If you remove Thursday, and see Thursday is an aberration that happens a month ago, and then this game come on the back of Liverpool winning on Thursday, you'd be sat here probably going, they had that Lions there, didn't he? Yeah, they were silly first 20, he switched off, but they had all the chances, just weren't there today. Whereas I think Thursday sort of sullies your opinion of today a little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
Because it was horrible.
I think there's an argument as well that if that result doesn't happen on Thursday, then the anxiety around today's game
exactly
wouldn't have been
that.
There. I think that was why, you know, I wouldn't sit and slag off the crowd, because to be fair, you know, they've got Liverpool over the line in a number of games this season. Games where, you know, Crystal Palace at home, Palace haven't won away in the Premier League since November, and even that was against Burnley. You know, they're not a side that, you know, as much as they can cause you problems, they're a side that a team like Liverpool should be sweeping aside comfortably. And so I think as soon as they get their noses in front, the memories of Thursday come back. And I think, as soon as Liverpool would have got one, I think they would have got three. But just that first goal not going in, the anxiety just ramps up.
They actually have a good period, 25 to 30. Which I'd sort of forgotten about, but you have a couple of chances. There's a karate header over the bar. There's a couple. Oh, that's some saved that. The one for Diaz.
Yeah.
Some saved that, but you know they actually have a bit of a sort of a flurry there. And then there's one where I don't know where. I think they have a close one, but it's actually offside, and it seems to sort of spook everyone again. I don't know, but if the one would have gone in, then could have been very different. But listen, it wasn't. Liverpool lose there. Long and proud.
Can I just say, I know you say lose the long and proud. You asked for positives, right? I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, you're fine.
Interrupt away.
So, the positives are, it can't be any fucking worse than it has been this week. The positives are, we've got the best goalkeeper in the world who's got 90 minutes under his belt. We've got a generational talent who, after a lot of time out, has come back in and played. We've got arguably the best left back we've ever had who's got minutes under his belt. We're still in it, and we're still Liverpool. So if you think about those things, and there's a guy from Portugal who was born in the 6-yard box, who has been crap in the last couple of games, but he's got minutes under his belt. We've got more fire in the belly, and we're not going to give it up, because the coach isn't going to have it. The manager's not going to have it, and these players aren't going to have it. And so when we dust ourselves down after an emotional day, in the most emotional of weekends, we're fucking going again. So there's your positives.
Love it. See you at Fulham. Up the Neds.
Sports Social Podcast Network.